Good afternoon, and many thanks for the opportunity to speak to you today on behalf of the World Bank. And the bit that the Madam Chair didn't quite fit in is I'm, before all of that started, I actually used to be a commodities trader. So we speak to a subject that's fond to my heart. I guess one of the issues here, well, I'll quickly run you through this. I've got the graveyard shift, so I'll try and get you through it quick. But just to put it into context, we used to have a rural agricultural finance unit and we used to have a risk management team. And just to show you the dynamics and why I think you're exactly on the spot here at the ICO is that we recently merged those two. That gave me double the work and half the pay, I guess, is the way of looking at it. But what it shows is the dynamic linkage between finance and risk. And these are two bedfellows that don't go well together, but let me quickly get you through this. First of all, I'll speak to you more about the risk management team today. You know, you've got to see the advertising, but generally what we do is we work across the agricultural sector, we work across the different stakeholders, from sovereigns all the way down to farmers, and we're looking at all the risks across the spectrum. So price is one thing, weather's another, but pest and disease, civil strife, etc., etc. These are all things that hit agriculture on a regular basis. And as I always point out to everyone, especially my friends and colleagues who work in disaster risk reduction, they're worried about houses and urban risk, and they're worried about when things go really badly wrong, and they call it a disaster. Disaster happens in agriculture at a household level every day, every hour, every minute of the day across the world. And that is much more severe in developing countries where people are much more vulnerable, have much less savings, and are much less capable of managing those risks. So a disaster is a household disaster. And that's the reality in agriculture because it's highly covariate. Everyone suffers it all the time. When things go wrong, they go wrong in a big way. And you don't have much ability to manage. I will just mention that we are funded very generously by Swissaiko and by the Dutch government and formerly by our colleagues from Brussels, the European Union. And you will notice all of their logos on the back of our training. So advertising out the way. So risk's more than just about price. The bank spent a long time, 5 or 6 years, in one unit looking at price risk. And then realized because a lot of their work, the people that they were working with suddenly started suffering from droughts, that maybe there was more to it than just price. And so what we've seen and now the focus of the work is very much across a broad spectrum. You know, we wrote insurance contracts for drought, and our clients that we were working with got flooded out. We helped people manage price, and all of their production was destroyed by locust. The reality is, if you're going to manage risk, you need to do it in a coherent and holistic manner. So the relationship between risk and finance is the sort of thing we're trying to put forwards at the moment. But I don't think it is true to say that bankers don't lend money to farmers because it's just too risky. I think a large part of what happened up until certainly the structural change that we see now in commodities prices is that the value proposition was weak, especially in developing countries. Margins were very low because prices were very low. And so when risk took hold, there was no margin on either side to really protect anyone. I guess one of the big lessons that we're learning now with prices at a much higher level across the commodity spectrum in agriculture and elsewhere is that there is now a much stronger value proposition for farmers, and there's also a much stronger value proposition for bankers. There is something to be financed. This is what we call the power of three, but basically what we're trying to do here is what I actually call dumbed down risk management. It's dumbed down basically so I can get it. But really, just about everything in risk management you can define in three terms. So you need to identify it, you need to assess it, you need to manage it. It comes at three different in three different ways: at production, at market, and enabling environment. There are three different layers: idiosyncratic, that's just me; covariate, that's everyone; and then catastrophic, which is everyone and it all went horribly wrong. Three stakeholders: governments, bankers, input suppliers, processors, micro, farmers. And there are three things you can do about risk. You can mitigate, you can transfer, and you can cope. You'll see all sorts of different definitions in the academic world, but we're just trying to come up with three. So what we actually now try and do, we work on macro level sectoral approaches to risk management that looks at a whole agricultural sector in a given country. And we also then look at risks in given supply chains. So we've actually done, and there's actually some coffee ones there, so we've worked in Haiti before the obviously extremely unfortunate events that occurred there. Prior to that we did some work in Haiti, we've done one in Cameroon, we did one in Vietnam, and we did one recently in Uganda. And that's basically looking at a whole supply chain, because risk affects everyone in that supply chain. You know, if you're a government and you have an export tax, if you have a major problem in your coffee sector, it impacts your government revenue. If you're a processor and there's no beans to process, it impacts your business. And if you're a farmer and you have excess rains and all your beans drop off, you've got nothing really to sell. Now, all of you live within one supply chain. And one of the things and one of the great lessons I guess we learned is that it's a multi-stakeholder approach. Everyone has to pull their own weight, and everyone has to work together in managing the risks. One particular stakeholder trying to do it all on their own is generally not terribly successful. So this is another way of looking at risk. It's risk layering. That wonderful graph is a loss curve, which for anyone who's involved in insurance, you'll recognize that one. But what this is basically saying is getting over the principle that things can and do go wrong every minute of the day, but quite often loss is infinitesimally small. Those are the risks that we don't need to worry about so much. Some things sometimes, rarely, go catastrophically wrong. And between those two situations of basic probability and losses, we have various different levels of loss. And generally these also fit quite well with the roles of the different stakeholders. Stuff that goes wrong on a very daily basis with minimal loss is normally borne by a farmer. And to put it into context, on your motor insurance policy, that no claims, which we all think is far too big, of course, but the no claims part of your motor insurance policy is basically you bearing the day-to-day stuff that goes wrong all the time. If you wanted the insurance company to pay you for that one, your premiums would shoot through the roof. So someone has to bear the day-to-day very low-end stuff, and that's a farmer's role. We then have somewhere in the middle, which is where it is potentially possible to transfer risk out of the market or away from the farmer. We're talking insurance, we can be talking price risk transfer. And then towards the end of that curve, the end where it says losses, is where you see catastrophic levels. This is where losses are so large that neither insurers nor farmers can manage the financial implications. And here we have a very clear role for government. So what does this mean? And hopefully I said I'd keep it short, and I think I probably have. But I spoke at this forum or the proceeding to the forum, and Jose will set me right as to what it was. A year, 18 months ago, I think. And one of the takeaways that I had at that moment as we walked out the door is that sitting in this room collectively is pretty much most of the knowledge that we need to solve the problems in risk and finance. Across the various member governments, across the various private sector institutions that are involved in this, you collectively have the knowledge to be able to draw the best case examples and distill them into relevance for all the member countries, and coming from the World Bank, most specifically for those farmers that are involved in your industry. And so one of the things that we'd like to propose, and maybe we can discuss it, is that at the World Bank, we'd be very happy to work with the ICO and particularly this forum to try and draw those lessons together. So I'm not suggesting for a second another World Bank report of 500 pages that will probably be stabilizing desks as opposed to markets. I'm actually talking about something very practical, something that puts it into a context. There's a simple idea, if we could use a simple typology of yield. It's all very well to come up with fantastic examples, but unless they're practical in a given country situation, they're not terribly helpful. So in very simple terms, we need to come up with a typology, and from that, draw some conclusions and draw some assistance for farmers, but very practical assistance. Assistance for processors. Assistance for governments. So, on that note, hopefully it was less than 10 minutes. You're all still smiling and awake, so it didn't do too bad. Thanks very much.